This is tape number 18, side 1 continued. The following is a message on Romans 6, given Sunday morning, October 6, 1963.
Let's take the 6th chapter of Romans. I was telling Brother and Sister Erickson today that the book of Romans laid out in the form of a cross too. Brother, I tell you, this word, it's the most tremendous thing you could ever hope to get into. And I never tell it all. I don't know what I already know now. And God's already, He's all the time just roll like rivers. So you don't have to worry about this thing getting exhausted. But book of Romans is laid out in the form of this tabernacle. And it starts in the first of it. With justification by faith or salvation. Then he comes on up, and of course there's the fire, and on up to the laver, waters of sanctification, and right on up till he gets up to the top, which is the outflow of Christian love. That's the height of all perfection, is of course perfect love. So we find the 6th chapter. If we were going to teach it by this, it's a portion that fits in here with this section here, fits into labor. Now, let's take this 6th chapter. Praise God. Let's just stop and pray for a minute, and I'll ask God to switch me. I've been in a tremendous realm. But, I've been down to the altar. I want to come up now to the labor. Let's just pray for a minute here. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'll tell you, let me tell you something. It takes a strong demonstration to handle the Word of God. Because it's like an earthquake to you. It's shaking you and preparing you. Oh, my. It's a wonderful thing coming. Don't you get excited over this Word? There's just no end to it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if we had time to teach on the demonstrations of the Spirit, we've done that too, haven't we? What they mean. God's not just playing tiddlywinks. There's a reason when He shakes you and when He does all kinds of things to you on the demonstration side. Now, let's study the purpose of Romans. The 6th chapter is union with Christ. In fact, that's the purpose of the whole Bible. The word that we have on the blood side, the word that we have on the fire side, the word that we have on the water side, all the way up through you, the word is for the purpose of union with Christ. And so that's the purpose here. Now let's see, in the 6th chapter, we find the different ways that this union with Christ is accomplished. Now number one, we find that it is accomplished by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Without the death of Jesus, you see, which this laver here represented the waters of His name and His death and His life. And the priests came there and they were washed once outwardly. And then they were washed inwardly. They, you're preaching inward washing by the word. They were washed daily with their hands and their feet, which was a picture of the inward washing daily. Of the waters of His death and His word and so on. Now, we want to examine that, praise the name of the Lord, and then we want to examine then the resurrection life. The death represents the crucified Christ. You always find a crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ. It takes both of them to do the job. In the tabernacle, you find these two pieces of furniture in the outer court were made of brass. Signifying the crucified Christ. You find the pieces of furniture up here, gold all the way up, then representing the resurrected Christ. So there's no such thing as stature without crucifixion and resurrection. They go together. And so the next thing, then we see union by resurrection. When we die to the things of the flesh and the world and so on, we are united in the fellowship of His suffering and His death, like Paul said. Then there's a resurrection, and then you'll find union by the Word, Now, all this is in the sixth chapter. It's one of the most tremendous chapters in the Word of God, and I would say one of the greatest chapters that is least really understood. Amen. And then, union by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God. Now, this is your blueprint. You'll find it going right along as we study. Now, let's consider the different kinds of death here. Praise the name of the Lord. The different kinds of death, the way that we can taste of its death. Now, this is very interesting. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's just up to God as to how much that He brings out tonight. That's why, but even so, some of them have heard me teach on it twice. They want to stick around again because usually every time we teach on it, well, God comes in on a different level, although the pattern is the same. Let's get a little background in the fifth chapter before we come to the sixth chapter. Now, you know of the story there. Let's start in verse 20. How that he goes back and he reminds us how that sin entered in by one man, and that was Adam. And he talks about the similitude of Adam's transgression, which was deliberate transgression. And remember, Adam was the one who carried the seed of life. If he had not have deliberately disobeyed, God could have made another helpmeet. But Adam was the one, he carried the blood cell, and through the blood cell of Adam, the sin. Well, let's go on down to verse 20 in the fifth chapter. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, people get this verse really confused when they want to hide behind sin or use this verse for sin. The Lord said that it took a law. What did God bring the law for, huh? What was the law? To make sin reveal itself. It wasn't that the law was not spiritual and provoked man to rise up with his sinfulness. It's just that this sinfulness was there all the time, and it took God's law gouging at man and saying, thou shalt not and thou shalt, to cause this big mountain of sin to be revealed. See, in it. Now, he said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What's he talking about now? Amen. He's talking about the cross of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah to God. Amen. That's bigger than man's sin. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So where sin abounded, why grace did much more abound. Now, this doesn't mean that some people, and I've talked to them, and I've heard them make this statement. Well, if by my sin it's going to cause God's grace to abound, well, then I'll go out and sin. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what happened with the law that revealed what was in man. And God come along with his marvelous grace at the cross of Calvary and revealed a way that was much bigger than our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the waters of his word, and his name, his death, and his life, is much greater than man's sin. So therefore, we will not be able to have an excuse when we stand before God and say, well, Lord, I couldn't go on because, well, my sin was so big and my flesh was so big, the devil was so big and the world was so big. I'll tell you, the cross of Jesus is bigger. Now, so when you understand that, then you know what Paul is saying here in verse 6. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that what we're talking about? He said, God forbid. Now, let's get this straight. Just because he gave you that, that doesn't mean that I'm going to come over here and sin just so I can see God's grace abound. That is the answer. He's showing us a picture of something. Now, let's go into the union about death. And I want to show you something. This is very precious to me. And I have to be anointed. God has to put me in the channel to teach this or anything else in the Word of God. I am not my own, and I'm not the boss of this word that God has inside of me. And it's like the bride when she came to the seventh chapter of the Song of Solomon in her perfection after the marriage took place in the fourth chapter. Prior to that time, she had to learn subjection as an espoused bride. And from the fourth chapter on, she's learned subjection as a spouse or a married wife. And as I've explained to people before, it's quite one thing to learn subjection when you're engaged, and it's another thing to learn subjection after you're married. And so in the seventh chapter, as she's married to him, well, we find her belly like a heap of wheat. In other words, she's pregnant now with his love. And he said that her belly was like a heap or a shock or a stalk, you know, much wheat. And when God lays in his word, beloved, in us, after we grow up and we become pregnant with his life, we live so with it till the word is born and conceived in us, and our body's like a heap of wheat. Don't forget that belly, that shock of wheat, was tied around about with leaves, which speak of humility. In other words, it was girded, and a girdle speaks of whatever's underneath it being in subjection. That's why when Jesus got ready to wash the feet, he girded himself with a towel, signifying that all of his deity had come under subjection, so to speak, of his humility, and so on. But when the girdle of lilies is round about you, you can't do what you want to do when you want to. It has to be God. Now, this is precious here, and God's put us in the track of it, and you'll enjoy it. Now, we want to speak about this stature of his death. How are we going to get joined with his death? Now, the first thing is by being baptized to praise the name of the Lord. Now, baptized into his death. Now, there's a principle involved, and that's why that we use the name of Jesus in baptism. Now, the name of Jesus has something to do with whether you believe God's one or whether you believe it's three. You ought to believe both of it, because both of it's true. Because the Word says he's one and he's three. And all the time over here, we tell you that Matthew 28:19, this is the biggest scheme the devil ever cooked up among Pentecostal people, beloved, is to make a separation between Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38. There are not two water baptisms, there's one. And so, and we haven't obeyed until we get it all together. Jesus didn't die twice, he just died once. Now, we get baptized into his death. It wasn't the Father that died for you, it wasn't the Holy Ghost that died for you, it was Jesus Christ that died for you, right? And so, they go together. And so when he said, baptize in the name or the power of attorney of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they had the revelation of who the name was. And then they got over on the Pentecost, and Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when we go down in the name of Jesus in this pool here, like I tell you, it's not this literal water that saves you, but it's the anointing of the waters of his death and his name and his life that you recognize. Now, there's a principle involved. And that doesn't mean that people can't be saved with the blood of Jesus Christ. Beloved, if we're going to go up in stature, we're going to do it like God said, do it in the Word, or we're going to get stalled in our building. And that's why so many people are stalled. Now, the baptism of his death, the words of his death, and I realize that when people use this and they exercise a certain amount of faith here, they get a portion of his death and his life, but they fail to put the name in. And you see, you're going to leave out one of your water bars there. If we had to seal the bridal board and show you how it fits in there, why, you'd see that. And so we've got to put it all in together in order to get his name and his death and his life all in together here. And so now let's look at it. The first thing to do is to get baptized. For what? For continuing sin. You'll see different things that he mentions here, and we're going to go into it right now. Continuing sin. And the sixth chapter, let's begin to read. Now he said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now he's talking about the sin of the world, our past life, and so on. It seems to be the hardest proposition, and not with the people in general, because the people in general know that there's something wrong with Christians. I'm talking Christians now. But it's hard to get, it seems like, the theology and the people from the pulpit to recognize, beloved, that we have need of something after we've had the blood and the Holy Ghost and even been baptized in his name. We still have the sin of flesh to deal with. Now, let's read on here. So he said, know ye not that so many of you, now he just got through talking about continuing sin, or continuing in your old life. This water baptism, and of course I can't bring it all out tonight, It is to the church, listen, what the seal of circumcision was an Israelite. You study that in Colossians, I think the second chapter, you'll find circumcision, the water baptism likened unto circumcision. It was an outward seal. And here's where that sometimes we get Jesus' name people. They think because they get outward seal, that's all there is to it. Now, let me ask you something. Did Israel have to have the outward seal of circumcision? She did, didn't she? Huh? Well, did God recognize her as being really circumcised if she had just the outward seal, or did God command circumcision of the heart for Israel? In other words, she had to have it outside and inside. And then go back to the picture again at the laver. They had to wash a fully or a symbol of out baptism, and then they had to wash daily a symbol of inward circumcision. Now, the bride, what did he say to her? Set me a seal on your arm. That's your outward seal where the world can see. Then he said, set me a seal on your heart. Hallelujah to God. Let him circumcise you inside. Oh, hallelujah. And cut off the things of your fleshly heart that the spiritual man might be enlarged and grow. Isn't that wonderful? I don't care where you go. And if we take the stature of Israel's experience, what was first experience? Blood. Then her second experience was the cloud and fire. I just throw some of these down here so brother can read them and study them later. This is all thanks to you. We go over it all the time. Israel's first experience was blood. Her second experience was fire or the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then her third experience was the Red Sea. Out of circumcision, it was an outward seal, brother, when she passed that Red Sea, that she'd been severed from Egypt or continuing sin. You see that? Amen. But she had another one to cross, and that was Jordan, which means to descend, to go down, a picture of the inward circumcision. I don't care where you go in theology in the Old Testament, you won't miss this thing because God put it there clear. Now, her next experience, that water experience, was Jordan before she got into Canaan's land. Now, and that's what's wrong with a lot of people think because they've got the blood and the fire and they've taken on his name outwardly. They think they're already married to the Lord. Well, they just got out of Egypt, that's all. Hallelujah. But you've got to cross Jordan, brother. You've got to get this thing on the inside to get into Canaan's land, Beulah land, which in the Hebrew means married land. Oh, hallelujah. Look. Now, if any time I lose you completely, Brother Erickson, just holler because this is your bow class. The rest of them are just setting in.
This is the end of side two of the first cassette. This message is continued on to the second cassette. Second cassette, side one of tape number JE18. This is the continuation of this message on Romans 6.
If any time I lose you completely, Brother Erickson, just holler because this is your bow class. The rest of them are just setting in. Outward baptism, the outward seal. Inward baptism, you see. It's pretty hard. I mean, when you come in here and I mean, somebody throws things at you east, north, west, and south. Any of y'all know that, huh? It takes you a while. Praise God. And I talk about them so glibly, amen, because I've been living with some of them 25 years, and that's like, you know what I mean, your right hand to you. Yes. Blood with the lamb there, the Passover experience, Exodus 12. You know, that was their first experience. Now then, the fire. Let me put it to you this way. Let me draw another little picture over here, and then you'll see it. Let me start with Israel down here in Egypt, and then you'll get it. It's the same. Put it in stature form. Now, here she was down here in her little house in Egypt. Praise God. She's down here in Egypt. What was her first experience? Just like us. We were down in the world, down in Egypt. What's the first thing Jesus brings us, huh? Blood, right? And see, there's where a lot of people have gotten in trouble. They have never been able to separate the blood and the water. See? Oneness people will not separate the blood and the water. As the blood supplied in the water, but that's not so. And so there's where our big fight with them. We're outcasts from all groups, amen. And
So now they hadn't gone very far still in Egypt, brother, until they got the cloud. Amen. Fire by night, cloud by day. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, you just make a note here, you'll see that Paul said this was a baptism. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Right? That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 10. Now, then they had gone very far after that then until they came to the Red Sea. Now, here was this Red Sea, this tremendous sea that had to be crossed over. Now, this was their seal. This was the final mark when they marched through the sea, and Paul likened it unto a baptism unto Moses. It was their seal that they're finished now with Egypt. They're finished with continuing sin. Are you following me, saints, huh? 1 Corinthians 10. Yes, 1 Corinthians 10, that first two or three verses there. Now, after they came across the Red Sea, now we're in the wilderness, right? We're in this spousal stage now. We're not in the marriage stage at all. Brother, we're in the wilderness. And you know all the things they had to go through in the wilderness. Then finally, over here, at the end of the wilderness, came a Jordan then. And when they went through Jordan, well, then that was type of the inner circumcision, the inner baptism, amen, of his waters, of his name, and his death, and his life. Now, it's one thing for me to come down here in this pool and prostrate myself as a symbol that of death and utter dying out and so on, and to really be dead, that's two different things. I'm going to tell you, if everybody that had got in the pool in the name of Jesus Christ was already dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil, brother, we'd turn this world upside down for Jesus. But I'll tell you, you know, and the more you get, I'll tell you, the more you get, the more the devil wars against you. And it's true that to certain extent, Jesus thing people have a truth. And so the devil wars against them. And so consequently, they end up from being the biggest fighters of all. Hallelujah. Because they don't know about this inner baptism of coming back daily. Just like now when they went to the Red Sea, that was like coming here the first time and getting washed outwardly as a symbol saying that you want to die out. You want to utterly die. You utterly want to take on his death. You want to be transformed in the likeness of his death and so on. But don't mean that that's done. Just because I've made a surrender and taken that thing off. Now I've got to come back daily. I've got to pass Jordan and keep putting my hands and feet in the waters of his death and life or die daily like the Apostle Paul said, huh? Now, all right. Is that halfway clear to you, brother? Exactly. Initial and daily. Well, hallelujah. We'll get on to reckoning here in a minute. Glory to God. Amen. But what it is, it's not just reckoning, brother. It's by faith laying hold of it. See, there's a real... It really works now, and... these people here can testify to it. And brother, I know I can testify to it. I won't speak for them. I'll talk about something I know. But in going on for God, let's say something comes up in your flesh that's hard for you to get the victory over, whether it's patience or anger or temper or whatever it is. Now, it's one thing to suppress something and control it. It's nothing, brother, to kill it. When you kill it, it don't come up no more. So we don't kill everything all at one time. But there's things that God's killed in me. They don't come up anymore. They just aren't there. He's killed them. But why? You've got to continually by faith then and by prayer lay hold of the blood and the fire and the waters of his death and his life. And you can plead that and it works. Well, I've had in times past, I had, not that I have been an exceedingly jealous person. Some people have been given to jealousy more than others, but we all have that in the human heart. It's in every human heart. So don't say, if you've got it, brother, you've got it. It's in us. That thing that feels uncomfortable if somebody else is ahead of us, or we think we're getting a little into the horn, or we're getting pushed down, or this or that, see. Now, so what do? I've seen that happen. Begin to plead. When I feel a jealousy come up, well, I begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, begin to plead the fire of the Holy Ghost, and begin to plead the waters of his name, his death, and his life. And brother, you feel something begin to die out inside you. Hallelujah to God. It works. Or find your will come up. God want you to go this way. Or God speaking to you definitely, or God allowing circumstances and situations to make you go in a way you didn't want to go. You find that wheel just standing up like a ramrod of steel and begin to plead the blood and the fire and the waters of his name and his death over it. And you just feel your wheel begin to bend down like a camel on a hot summer day. Hallelujah to God. It's wonderful. God's given us some implements, instruments, beloved, that we can go on with, praise God. That's the blood, the fire, and water. And you find the blood, the fire, and the water was all put in instruments of wrath, which speaks instrument of judgment. Amen. So he's given those things to us that we might judge our flesh. And he said if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. That's false at the communion table. So if there wasn't something there to judge, then what did he tell us to judge ourselves for? Now, so being baptized for continuing sin, that's this initial experience at the Red Sea here, or that's this initial experience at the labor, sanctify. The rest of you saints that are listening in, some of this is new to you. Are you following me? Are you understanding what we're saying? Is that good enough? This what experience is here? This is the laying of the foundation. Let me put another. I'm going to have to do something here. You see, I'm teaching up here at the labor when actually I ought to be teaching out at the brazen altar. And then coming up here, we're jumping the gun. We're out of backtrack a little bit. Now, let's look at this, brother, just a minute, and this will help you make it pretty. Now, here is your brazen altar. Here is your brazen lathe. Here is your golden altar. Here's your candlestick, and here's your table of showbread. And here is your ark. And here's your mercy seat. Amen. Above it. Now, here's our altar. There are two experiences that we have here. You find the seal of the bride is built right on that cross. And like I said, I thought tonight, and I saw some mysterious things there. What are mysterious to me? I never speak about them until God opens the mystery. God showed me some mysterious things tonight. I don't know what they mean. I don't know. But I know one day in his time. And so the seal of the bride is no new thing to me. Well, I teach this sometimes when converted Jews are present. Why, they really have a time because they know God has had to show it to me being a Gentile. Now, there are two experiences here, brother, from the brazen altar. There are two things down there, blood and fire. So when we speak fire, we speak of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, huh? That fire was the touch of God's Holy Ghost power. Now, so the two experiences, and then we come on up to the water, and there's part of your bark, the outside, and here's the inside, see? Now, that gives you a triangle. You have three pieces of furniture here. This we taught on in convention here last June. And you enjoy it, saints. And next year we're going to teach on the seal together up here in the head ramp. It's two stairs and it's willing, and I'm still alive. Now, there is the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer, forming your bottom bar here. Here is your light, amen, the hidden light, amen, which speaks of the mind of Christ. There was no other light in the holy place except that. Here is your hidden manna, or your food, amen. Now that gives us our next triangle built upon the cross, and we're going up to full stature. Now, if you drop that triangle down, brother, or when they get put together in the head ground, let me put it up here, you'll find, like here's your bottom triangle, if you drop that one down, you'll find the Star of David built upon on the cross. Now, when God showed me this years ago, and I had this experience with him, although I used to have, when I was back in the world, I haven't had Jewish friends since I left the music business. But back when I played in the dance orchestra, a lot of my friends were Jews, and you find a lot of Jews play music in that type of business. You know that from the modern world, some of them have been very successful. And we never talked about religion. I didn't know anything about it. I was a sinner. So I've not been around Jews until recently. And God has shown me the seal of the bride, showed this thing in the spirit. And I didn't know that at one time that the Jewish Christian, when she was married to God, had this seal as the wife of God. And that the Jews at one time had a cross in the middle of their seal. Did you know that? And now they've turned that cross out since they've rejected Jesus and they hate him. And you'll see, sometimes they'll put a star there. Sometimes they'll put a candlestick there. You watch it. You look on some saint of God. You'll see it. They've broken their seal. See, when they rejected the cross, they broke their seal. But this used to be their seal. It's nothing for me to see the seal of the bride continually. And I mean, I could tell you some fantastic experiences about the seal of the bride. Since I've had God to take me in the spirit and lay that beautiful, look like a golden seal full of Shekinah glory, the Star of David on one side and the cross on the other side. I never knew of anything like that. I never heard it from mortal man. I never read it in a commentary until God began to take me up in stature and get me into marriage relationship with Him. And we're not talking like some people get well from the track that and make it a union between the spiritual and the physical, if you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about this is a spiritual thing that works between God's heart and your heart, amen, and between the Holy Ghost of God and your spiritual man inside, then brought into unity and maturity with God that fills you with such joy and ecstasy and love of God that you feel like you're going to burst into a million pieces. Now, that's why we talk about blood and the fire. Now, here is your foundation. That's why people don't build. Sometimes they haven't laid their foundation. You've got to finish laying your foundation. This is the foundation of the bride, or the crucified Christ that's in the courtyard. Then as we come on up then in the holy place, then we can enter in to the union with a resurrected power. But your first experience at the brazen altar, the first experience that you had as an Israelite, that was blood, just the same as it was in Egypt. And our next experience was the fire upon the sacrifice. You see that? The blood from the sacrifice and then the fire upon the sacrifice. The same pattern that Israel had going from Egypt. Then the next thing was the labor. So, I mean, God's pattern never varies in it. So there's no, for example, there's no use of us getting baptized up here in the water if we haven't been down here. Now, sometimes God does take people here on the blood side and maybe bring them up here and give them more baptism, then bring them down on the fire. That God doesn't always just work the same way. But then that's your full pattern in the courtyard. That's your full pattern of your foundation. Blood, fire, or blood, and Holy Ghost, and water. It's there. God put it there. God put it there. Yes, thank you. Yes, you find that same thing, son. Exactly. Let's take the Egyptians. God doesn't always work the same way with everybody. Sometimes they come and repent and receive Jesus and get on this side. Then they come up on the water side, and then God brings them down on the fire side. And then some people come to the blood and get the fire and come across this way. It doesn't matter which way we come, as long as we get it all. See? But now you take disciples. Now they'd already received the blood and faith in blood. Then they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now whether they were baptized again or not, we don't know. But the Jews baptized them before. Whether they, I expect that baptism stood, so it could be they took them around that way. Then he said there on the day of what he was referring to for Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus. And he said, I see the Holy Ghost. So that's Peter preached around like that. So actually, I guess that would be, you know, I know he does it that way. And yet, I've had many people come, when, especially when I've been out in revivals, big revivals, and see God leading me, especially in Mexico. I've seen sinners come and repent to get the Holy Ghost all the same night. So we've got to chase the blood. But we can't limit God. And it doesn't matter whether he takes us from the blood to the water and then down the fire, or from the blood to the fire up to the water. God just wants us to get it all in, that's all. Not leaving it out. Now let's go back. Does that halfway clarify anything to you, brother? Let's go to the sixth chapter of Romans again, and let's press right on here with this thing. So he said, know not therefore so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So now there's our first union with his death, being baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him. Now let's look at that, by baptism into death. So there's another, by being baptized and then by being buried. And that has to do with living in sin. Amen. Now we've been baptized here to get rid of what was there in Egypt. Now we need to learn how to bury things. There's death. Now if you bury something, that's different from baptizing it.
Huh? Yeah, I realize that, sure, we got buried here under the water outwardly, but there's an inward burial. When you bury something, what do? You yield it up for death, huh? You yield it up for death and leave it there and let it become mortified and juicy when you don't dig it up again.
This is the continuation of this message on Romans 6.
If any time I lose you complete, Brother Erickson, just holler, because this is your Bible class. The rest of it is fretting in. Outward baptism, the outward seal. Inward baptism, you see. It's pretty hard. I mean, when you come in here and I mean, somebody throws things at you, east, north, west, and south. How many of y'all know that, huh? It takes you a while. Praise God. And I talk about them glibly, amen, because I've been living with some of them 25 years, and that's like what I mean, right hand to you. Yes. The blood with the lamb there, the Passover experience, Exodus 12. You know, that was their first experience. Now then, the fire. Let me put it to you this way. Let me draw another little picture over here, and it'll fit. Let me start with Israel down here in Egypt, and then you'll get it. The same, I put it in your form. Now, here she was down here in her little house in Egypt. Praise God. She's down here in Egypt. What was her first experience? Just like us, we were down in the world, down in Egypt. What's the first thing Jesus brings to us, huh? Blood, right? And see, there's where a lot of people have gotten in trouble. They have never been able to separate the blood and the water. See, oneness people will not separate the blood and the water. As the blood supplied in the water, but that's not so. And so there's where our big fight with them. We're outcast small groups, amen. And so now they hadn't gone very far still in Egypt, brother, until they got the cloud, amen, of fire by day and fire by night and cloud by day. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, you just make a note here, you'll see that Paul said this was a baptism. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, right? 1 Corinthians 10. Now, then they hadn't gone very far after that then until they came to a Red Sea. Now, here was this Red Sea, this tremendous sea that had to be crossed over. Now, this was their seal. This was the final mark when they marched through the sea, and Paul likened it unto a baptism unto Moses. It was their seal that they're finished now with Egypt. They're finished with continuing sin. Are you following me, saints, huh? 1 Corinthians 10. Pardon? Yes, 1 Corinthians 10. That first two verses there. Now, after they came across the Red Sea, now we're in the wilderness, right? We're in the espousal stage now. We're not in the marriage stage at all. In other words, wilderness. And you know all the things they had to go through in the wilderness. Then finally, over here, at the end of the wilderness, came a Jordan then. And when they went through Jordan, well, then that was the type of inner circumcision, the inner baptism, amen, of his waters, of his name, and his death, and his life. Now, it's one thing for me to come down here in this pool and prostrate myself as a symbol that of death and utter dying out and so on, and to really be dead, that's two different things. I'm going to say everybody that had got in the pool in the name of Jesus Christ was already dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Brother, we turn this world upside down for Jesus. But I'll tell you, you know, and the more you get, I'll tell you a secret, the more you get, the more the devil wars against you. And it's true that to a certain extent, Jesus thinks people have a truth, and the devil wars against them, and so consequently, they end up sometimes being the biggest fighters of all. Hallelujah. Because they don't know about this inner baptism of coming back daily, just like now when they went to the Red Sea, that was like coming here the first time and getting washed outwardly as a symbol saying that you want to die out. You want to utterly die. You utterly want to take on his death. You want to be transformed in the likeness of his death and so on. But that don't mean that that's done. Just because I made a surrender and taking that thing off. Now I've got to come back daily. I've got to pass Jordan and keep my hands and feet in the waters of his death and his life, or die daily like the Apostle Paul said, huh? Now, all right. Is that halfway clear to you, brother? Exactly. Initial and daily. Well, hallelujah. We'll get on to reckoning here in a minute. Glory to God. Amen. But not just reckoning, brother. It's by faith laying hold of it. See, there's a it really works now, and these people here can testify to it. And, brother, I know I can testify to it. I won't speak for them about something I know. But in going on for God, let's say something comes up in your flesh that's hard for you to get the victory over, whether it's patience or anger or temper or whatever it is. Now, it's one thing to suppress something and control it, and it's another thing but to kill it. When you kill it, it don't come up no more. So we don't kill everything all at one time. There's things that God's killed it, they don't come up anymore. They just aren't there. He's killed them. But why? You've got to continue by faith then, and by prayer, lay hold of the blood and the fire and the waters of his veins, death and life. And you can plead that, and it works. Well, I've had, in times past, I've had, not that I have been an exceedingly jealous person. Some people have been into jealousy more than others, but we all have that in the human heart. It's in every human heart. So don't say, if you've got it, brother, you got it. It's in us. That thing, it feels uncomfortable if somebody else gets ahead of us, or we think we're getting a little into the horn, or we're getting pushed down, or this or that. See? Now, so what do? I've seen that happen. Begin to plead. When I feel a jealousy come up, well, begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Begin to plead the fire of the Holy Ghost. And begin to plead the waters of his name, his death, and his life. And, brother, you just use something begin to die out inside of you. Hallelujah to God. It works. Or find your will come up. God wants you to go this way. Or whether it was God speaking to you definitely, or God allowing circumstances and situations to make you go in a way you didn't want to go. You find that will just standing up like a ramrod of steel. And begin to plead the blood and the fire and the waters of his name and his death over it. And you just feel your will begin to bend down like cattle on a hot summer day. Hallelujah to God. It's wonderful. God's given us some implements, instruments, beloved, that we can go on with, praise God. And that's the blood, the fire, and the water. To find the blood, the fire, and the water was all put in instruments of brass, which speaks instruments of judgment. Amen. So he's given those things to us that we might judge our flesh. And he said if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. That's what Paul said at the communion table. So if there wasn't something there to judge, then what did he tell us to judge ourselves for? Now, so being baptized for continuing sin, that's this initial experience at the Red Sea here, or that's this initial experience at the labor, same difference. The rest of you saints that are listening in, as some of this is new to you, are you following me? Are you understanding what we're saying? Is that getting halfway? What experience is here? This is the laying of the foundation. Let me put another, I'm going to have to do something here. You see, I'm teaching up here at the labor when actually I would have been teaching out at Brazen Altar and then coming up here, but we're jumping the gun, but we'll try to backtrack a little bit. Now, let's look at this, brother, just a minute, and then this will help you, make it clear to you. Now, here is your brazen altar. Here is your brazen labor. Here is your golden altar. Here's your candlestick, and here's your table of showbread, and here is your ark, and here's your mercy seat. Amen. Above it. Now, here's our altar. There are two experiences that we have here. You'll find the seal of the bride is built right on that cross. And like I said, I saw it tonight, and I saw some mysterious things there. What are mysterious things? I never speak about them until God opens the mystery. God showed me the mysterious things tonight. I don't know what they mean. I don't know. But I'll know one day in his time. And so the seal of the bride is no new thing to me. I teach this sometimes when converted Jews are present. Well, they really have a time because no God has had the shame of being a Gentile. Now, there are two experiences here, brother, from the brazen altar. There are two things down there, blood and fire. So when we speak of fire, we speak of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Huh? That fire was the type of God's Holy Ghost power. Now, so the two experiences, and then we come on up to the water, and there's part of your bar, the outside, and then here's the inside. See? Now that gives you a triangle. You have three pieces of furniture here. This we taught on in convention here last June. And didn't you enjoy it, Saints? And next year we're going to teach on the seal together up here in the head ramp. Jesus tarries and is willing, and I'm still alive. Now, there is the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer, forming your bottom bar here. Here is your light, amen, the hidden light, amen, which speaks of the mind of Christ. There was no other light in the holy place except that. Here is your hidden manna, or your food, amen. Now that gives us our next triangle, built upon the cross, and we're going up to full stature. Now, if you drop that triangle down, brother, or when they get put together in the head realm, let me put it up there, you'll find, like here's your bottom triangle, if you drop that one down, you'll find the Star of David built upon the cross. Now, when God showed me this years ago, and I had this experience with him, although I used to have, when I was back in the world, I haven't had Jewish friends since I left the music business. But back when I played in the dance orchestra, a lot of my friends were Jews, and you had a lot of Jews play music in that type of business. You know that from the modern world, some of them have been very successful. And but we never talked about religion. I didn't know anything about it. I was a sinner. So I've not been around Jews until recently. And God has shown me the seal. God showed me this thing in the spirit. And I didn't know that at one time the Jewish nation, when she was married to God, had this seal as the wife of God. And that the Jews at one time had a cross in the middle of their seal. Do you know that? And now they've taken that cross out since they've rejected Jesus, and they hate him. And you'll see sometimes they'll put a star there. Sometimes they'll put a candlestick there. You watch. You look on some synagogues, and you'll see it. They've broken their seal. See, when they reject the cross, they broke their seal. But this used to be their seal. It's nothing for me to see the seal of the bride continually. And, I mean, I could tell you some fantastic experiences about the seal of the bride, that I've had God to take the spirit and lay that beautiful, look like a golden seal full of Shekinah glory, with the Star of David on one side and the cross on the other side. I never knew of anything like that. I never heard it from mortal men. I never read it in a commentary until God began to take me up in the stature and take me into marriage relationships with him. And we're not talking like some people get way off of the track that and make it a union between the spiritual and the physical, if you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about this is a spiritual thing that works between God's heart and your heart, amen, and between the Holy Ghost of God and your spiritual man inside being brought into unity and maturity with God, that fills you with such joy and ecstasy and love of God that you feel like you're going to burst into a million pieces. Now, that's why we talk about the blood and the fire. Now, here is your foundation. That's why people don't build. Sometimes they haven't laid their foundation. You've got to finish laying your foundation. This is the foundation of the brass, of the crucified Christ that's in the courtyard. Then as we come on up then in the holy place, then we begin to enter into the union with his resurrected power. But your first experience at the brazen altar, the first experience that you had as an Israelite, that was blood, just the same as it was in Egypt. Her next experience was the fire upon the sacrifice. You see that? The blood from the sacrifice and then the fire upon the sacrifice. Same pattern that Israel had going from Egypt. This, the next thing, was a laver. So, I mean, God's pattern never varies in it. So there's, for example, there's no use of us getting baptized up here in the water if we haven't been down here. Now, sometimes God does take people here on the blood side and maybe bring them up here and give them water baptism, then bring them on the fire side. God doesn't always just work the same way, but then that's your full pattern in the courtyard. That's your full pattern of your foundation. Blood, fire, or blood and Holy Ghost and water. It's there. God put it there. God put it there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, you find that same thing, my son. Exactly. Well, are they, let's take it depends. God doesn't always work the same way.
with everybody. Sometimes they come and repent and receive Jesus and get on this side. Then they come on the water side, and then God brings them down on the fire side. And then some people come to the blood, get the fire, and come across this way. It doesn't matter which way we come, as long as we get it all. See? But now, you take disciples. Now, they'd already received the blood and faith in the blood. Then they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, whether they were baptized again or not, we don't know. But Jesus baptized them before, whether they, I bet that baptism still, so it could be the Lord took them around that way. Then he said there on the day of what you're referring to, called Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and shall receive the Holy Ghost. So that's what Peter preached around like that. I know he does it that way, and yet I've had many people come, when, especially when I've been out in revivals, big revivals, and see God, even me, especially in Mexico, I've seen sinners come and repent to get the Holy Ghost all the same night. So we've got things to baptize it. So we can't limit God, and it doesn't matter whether he takes from the blood to the water, and then down to the fire, or from the blood to the fire up to the water. God just wants us to get all in, that's all. Not going to have that. Now let's go back. Does that halfway clarify anything to you, brother? Let's go to the sixth chapter of Romans again, and let's press right on here with this fact. So he said, know ye not therefore, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in his death. So now there's our first union with his death, being baptized into his death.